Spirit first draws them. And Lord, that's our prayer here in Apsley Community Chapel, is that we can be a light to our community. You said, Lord, it's not your will that anyone should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of Jesus. Lord, you said that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Father, that's our desire here, that you touch our community and out from here. And Lord, I just thank you and I just praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I wanted to start today. I've never had a name of a message in my life, because that's just not the way I swing. But when I got up this morning and I had to go out and sand this parking lot and sand a few other parking lots, I just pray and I just meditate and I just listen to God. And what the Lord said to me is, why Jesus? Why do we need Jesus? And a lot of times when I say why Jesus is because I know my life, and I've always based it on my life, because before I knew Jesus, and I want to base it on the Bible as well, but before I knew Jesus, I was just trying to fill a void in my life with everything else, and I was empty. I had no peace. I had no contentment. I always was thinking, if I could get something bigger or something better or something more. I didn't know it was Jesus I was looking for. I just knew I was dissatisfied in my life. And I just did what everybody said, that if you had this and you had this and you had this, you'd be a happy person. But I wasn't happy, and I had all of that. And when I found Jesus, I became happy. I became full of peace. I went from a person that was upset all the time, that was only caring about myself, to begin to care about other people. I never did that till I had Jesus. And so right here, if you want to turn with me, if you have a Bible, if not, I'm going to read it. Or they might even put it up on the screen, I don't know. But it says in 1 John chapter 5, and I want to say this because it says in verse 7, it says, for there are three that bear record of in heaven and on the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God has this witness in himself. He that believeth not God has made him a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. You know, I'm going to read another scripture here in a minute, but where do we find life? You know, there's many ways. I've heard a lot of people say, you know, and it's not because they're bad people, it's because they don't know. I have people say this stuff like this to me. Well, you know, I helped a guy out of the ditch last week, and so, you know, we're both going to get there. And, you know, it's good to do good stuff. That's what we're supposed to do in this earth, is to go out and be good to people and be a light in our community. But being a good person doesn't get you to heaven. Or not being a good person doesn't get you to heaven. The Bible says it's not because of your works, lest any man could boast. It's because of Jesus. So the Bible says here in this record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So if you want life, where do you get life from? In his Son. And he says, he that hath the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God is not life. These things have I written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. See, today, if you're listening to me, and I mean, you might think this is crazy, and so sometimes I do too, because I don't talk about this a lot, about being born again or being a Christian, because pretty much everybody that comes to church is born again already. But the Bible says, it says, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Like yesterday, we had a funeral here, a celebration of life for Josie Horde. Well, we knew when Duffy texted me that she went from this earth to heaven, I was sad because she was gone from this part, but I wasn't sad in another aspect because I knew that the Bible says when you believe on the name of the Son of God, you go from life to life. See, you just pass from this life to the next because see, life is for eternity. See, whether we like it or whether we don't, we go from this life to living forever, whether you want to live in heaven or whether you want to live in hell. And see, and I'm not a guy that tries to scare people. I'm not a guy that tries to make people scared to get them into heaven because that's not the way I work. But I want to tell you this. The Bible says there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. And nobody in the sound of my voice or no person in this earth, regardless of whether they're in jail or whether they're a businessman, whether they've did drugs or they haven't did drugs, there's not one person in this world that has to miss out on heaven because the Bible says Jesus died. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into this world to condemn the world, but through him that the world would be saved. And that's God's desire, that no man perish. And the Bible says here that if you want this life is in his Son. You know how if I want to go to Peterborough, you know when last week there was an accident and I was taking my wife out to dinner and we went down 28 Highway and the road was closed. If I really wanted to go to Peterborough, which I didn't that bad, but we were headed that way, I could have came back and went down to 46 and I could have went to Havelock or I could have went through Stony Lake Road and I could have got to Peterborough or I could have went back and I could have went up Dino Road and I could have went through Gooderham and I could have went through Buckhorn or I could have went over, like there's many ways. Could have went to Halliburton, down 35 Highway, and took it on the left and went straight over to Bob Cajun. There's many ways to get to Peterborough, even though one road's closed. But there's not many ways to get to heaven. There's one way. And it's not that I've never preached against Buddha or Muhammad or any other person in this world. But the Bible says this, so turn with me. And I have fun with this. Because I don't fight with people. If you know my wife, like I have a lot of people over the years that wanted to fight with me and argue with me or debate with me about the religion and about God and about Buddha and about this and about that. And I'm not that smart to debate. I know this one thing. And see, you don't have to be that smart to do well in life. You just have to be smart enough to listen to the Bible. And Jesus said here, and see, I want every person to know Jesus. The Bible says here in John 14, it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believed in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, because I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas says unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And so Jesus said, I'm going away, guys. So don't worry about it. But I'm going, I'm not just leaving, but I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you can come also. And then Thomas says, Lord, we're not sure where you're going. Is it up there? Yeah. We're not. And Thomas says to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? But the next verse says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes unto the Father but by who? By Jesus. So that's why there's one way to God. You know, when I was a boy, was anybody ever a Christian when I was young? And did you ever, back then, a lot of Christians had stickers. And there used to be a sticker that says one way, and it looked like that. It had the fist, the thumb, I don't know why the thumb was out, and it had a finger up, one way. And on the bottom it said Jesus. And there's one way to God. And I want to tell you something, the reason a lot of people don't come to God over their life is because of Christians. Because the way Christians have talked to them over their life, or the way people have condescended upon people that they think they're better than. Some people grew up in homes where they didn't believe in Jesus. And some people had rotten things happen when they were young, or they've lost people in their life, and they became bitter at God. And I'm just telling you this, because I know a lot of people, life isn't always fair. It's not fair. Because, see, I had my brother that was killed, right? And I didn't think that was fair. But the one thing I am very thankful for was because my mom and dad, if it was based on your works, and I want to tell you this, if it was salvation was based on your works, there would be a lot of people that could get there because they're good people. But the Bible says there's no good. No, not one. And that's why Jesus had to come. Because you would think if my dad was a preacher and gave houses away and gave cars away and was a good dad, and he made lots of mistakes. My dad wasn't perfect. But you would have thought that maybe my brother wouldn't have been killed because of the way he lived his life. But that's not how life works. And my dad, thank God, the reason I'm serving God today is because my dad didn't turn against God. Because the Bible says this, in this life, you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So if you stick with God, you're going to be an overcomer. And I just feel that there's been people that here today or listening to me today anyways that have been hurt. And the Bible says that the enemy or the devil, he's as a roaring lion and he's just going about seeing who he can destroy. And many people that the devil destroys, God gets the blame for it. The Bible says that the devil comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have what? Life, and have it more abundantly. Why do we need Jesus? I'm going to tell you. Turn your Bibles with me to Genesis. And I'm going to go back to the beginning of where everything started. And I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. I could read everything, but I don't have time to read everything. And the Lord God took the man and he put him into the Garden of Eden, to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in that day thou callest Therefore, thou shalt not... Oh, sorry. My eyes are watering. Therefore, in that day thou eatest, thereof thou shalt surely die. So now, I'm saying this. God said, God created heavens and the earth. And he created them so man could have dominion on earth. Why Jesus? And this right here is the key to why people need Jesus. It's because Jesus said this, and I'm not going to read this whole thing because you know this. We all know it was the women's fault. No, I'm joking. But why Jesus? Because God said here, he put them in the garden, and he said, I want you to eat of anything you can have dominion, but don't eat this tree. Because the day you eat this tree, you are going to die. Now, I want to... Okay, let's read a little more. Now the serpent was more subtle. What? Subtle. I don't get a D in there. I see a B in there. Should have went to school longer. Than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, thou hast God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God does know in that day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, what back then, and I'm just saying this, but back then, what is the same thing as today? What does the enemy do? He deceives people. That's what he was trying to do. He was twisting words and just deceiving. And you know that she ended up eating of the tree. And it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree was to be desired to make one wise, so she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave it also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard God, the voice of the Lord, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife, they hid themselves from the presence of God from amongst the trees of the garden. Now, I just want to say this. And I ask this question because this is what happened. Did God say that if they ate the tree, they would die? Were they still alive after they ate of the tree? How did they die? They died. They were separated from God. Spiritually. And when you get born again, it's not your body that gets born again. It's your body that gets laid in a coffin and you go into the ground and you go back dust to dust. It's the spirit of the man that was separated from God. And so then, even because God's love for people, he set up the Ten Commandments. And he realized, he said, if you can keep these, you can get in. And not one person could keep the Ten Commandments. And Jesus made the standard so high, and I said this a little while ago, and he showed them how far they were away from God and how much they needed Jesus. Because Jesus, when he came, He said, it's not, you don't put away the Ten Commandments. But he said, I have two new commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And on these will hang all the commandments. Because if you love your neighbor, you're not going to kill him. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to want his wife. If you love your God, you're not going to want to lie. Do you understand? So it's not that these commandments went away, but then Jesus raised the standard so high that he knew that you and I could not keep these commandments. And the standard was, he said, you say, he said two things that I really remember. But he said, you say, the Bible says, or the Old Testament says, you know, you shall not kill. But I say, if you hate somebody in your heart, you're the same as a murderer. What did he do? He just made it impossible for anybody to make it through the commandments to get to heaven. Or he said this for the men. He said, the Bible says adultery is wrong. But I say, if you just look at a woman and you lust after her in your heart where nobody knows, you're already an adulteress. So Jesus came, when he came and he was preaching, and Jesus went about doing good and healing all the oppressed of the devil because God was with him. And he began to share this, and people are like wondering, how in the world can we get to heaven? You can't get to heaven by keeping the law. Because there was nobody that could keep the whole law. The Bible says if you want to live by the law, it says this in the New Testament, if you think you can live by the law or by the commands by being good or by being a Jew or by being a Gentile and you think you're good enough to keep the law, the Bible says if you keep the whole law and you break it one point, you're guilty of the whole thing. So there's nobody that could get to heaven on their own. Why Jesus then? Because Jesus is the one that came. And this is why we are going to have a baptism today. Because when you get baptized, the Bible says that you get buried with him in his baptism. What did he do when he went to the cross for you and I? Well, he took on every possible thing that you would be tempted with. But he was without sin. So he took on lust. He took on homosexuality. He took on lying. He took on your sickness. He took on every possible thing. Pride. Like just thinking you're better than somebody else. He took on every possible thing that you would ever have to be deal with or be tempted with in this life. Insecurities, mental health, everything that people deal with today, Jesus took that on himself and he was in agony. And then he took them stripes, and he was beaten for you, and he was killed, and he was stabbed, and he was tortured, and then he had to drag the cross up, and then he was died, and then he had a spear in his side, and he did it because of you. And he shed his blood, and his blood was perfect, and it was for the remission of your sins. But not only that, see, when he died that day on that cross, death had victory. And I believe that every devil and every demon in hell was rejoicing and laughing that God sent Jesus, his own son, to come, and now he's dead. But then there was a rumbling. And there was a shaking. The Bible says this. And then everything went dark. And then what happened? Jesus arose. He came back from the dead. And when he came back to life, everything that he took on him, he now became bigger than. And the Bible says he went to hell and he stole the keys of the kingdom of death, hell, and the grave, and he rose triumphant to give life to you and I for those that believe in him. And the Bible says, all that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why Jesus? Because it's the only way you're going to get to heaven. You can't get to heaven by being good. You can't get to heaven by being bad. You can't get to heaven because you prayed. You can't get to heaven because of your great works. The only way you can get to heaven is, the Bible says this. Turn there. I got to find it first, but turn there. Let's go to Romans. I got one, just this scripture. I got one more scripture, and we're going to go. But I want you to know today, especially those that are being baptized, that when you get baptized and you get born again, his victory now becomes your victory. His win becomes your win. His life now becomes your life. His healing now becomes your healing. Your mental torment that you've dealt with for years now become yours. Freedom. Your insecurities that you had, you can trade them in for a sound mind. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and what? A sound mind. Jesus said this. For Christ, this is in Romans chapter 10. I'm going to read the whole thing. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Right? That's his prayer. That Israel might be saved. Now I want to ask you a question. And I don't know all this, but does a Jew need to be born again? Can him keeping the law get him to heaven? Can him doing all the rituals of Judaism get him to heaven? No. No. The Bible says here, my heart's desire and prayer is God for Israel. For Israel, that they might be saved. For I bear record that they have a zeal of God, but they not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of God's righteousness. What is God's righteousness? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. You can't have your own righteousness. I believe that the Jews are God's people and God blesses them. I believe that 100%. I believe the Bible says when you pray for the Jews that God will bless you. But everybody in the sound of my voice or in this world, they all need Jesus. The Bible says, for Christ is the... For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. How would you establish your own righteousness? I'm just asking you. Some people do it by praying a lot. They think that by praying, or some people go to church twice a year, Which I don't care if you go to church twice a year. I'd like you to go to church every week, but you can go to church every week and not get to heaven. Jesus said, "For Moses described the righteousness which is the law, that a man which does these things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise, say, not in your heart, who shall ascend into the heavens, that is, to being Christ down from above, or who shall descend unto the deep, that is, to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." That's how you get born again. You got to believe that Jesus died on the cross. You got to believe that he went to hell for you. See, what was the importance of Jesus going to hell? Because he had to take your place. He had to do everything that you would have had to do. And because he did it, you don't have to. This today is not about you, anybody being bad. It's about saying Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. That's why we need Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. Because there's nobody that's good enough on their own. And that's why, personally, it really people irritate me that think they're better than other people. Or holy people. People that think they're holy irritate me. Just, I don't say nothing, but they irritate me. They do. Ask my wife. My wife knows. But I pray for them. The Bible says here, because I know that you can't get to heaven on your own. The Bible says here, for the Scripture says, whoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference now between the Jew or the Greek. Why? Because it's the same Lord over all, and is rich unto all that call upon him. Do you know that God is rich unto everybody that calls on him? Do you know I was sitting in the parking lot? I took my son to hockey. I've done this with many of my kids, but I remember the last one. And it was with my little Isaac. And I talked to Isaac a lot about God, especially when we go to hockey. I mean, they're the two best things you can do. Talk about God and go to hockey. I remember he was asking me about Jesus. He was asking me about heaven. He's 5 years old because he's heard about it. How does faith come? The Bible says faith comes from hearing. That's why we need preachers. We're preachers, right? We're not called condemners. We're called preachers. Some people call us condemners because I felt condemned, that I was so rotten. And I didn't realize till I got older and started to read the Bible that we're all rotten. If you want to call one rotten, we're all rotten because we're all not good enough to get to heaven. And I remember he said to me, "I want to go to heaven." And I said, "Well, do you believe in Jesus?" He was like, how old was he? 5 years old. And I said, "Well, the Bible says that if you believe in Jesus and you confess him and ask him to come into your life, you shall be saved." And I got the opportunity to lead my little 5-year-old to Jesus. And it was that easy. That's how it happened. Jesus said, "I've gone to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you can be also." See, a lot of people think that when you die. You just, they're dead. That's when life begins. Because this is just a snap of the finger what this life is here. For in the light of eternity. And Jesus said here, "For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" That's why we need to preach. That's why we need to be the Bible says we're to be a light in a dark place. Right? Turn with me to one more scripture. Romans. Chapter 6. What shall we say? Verse 1. Then, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? I want to tell you today, I believe that baptism is a part of being born again. Because the Bible talks about being born again and then being baptized. I know that there's people that can't be baptized that are in heaven. How do I know that? And so I'm not just like being tunnel-minded or whatever you want to call it. It's because, you know why I know that? And you know why I know that God loves people? It's because, you know the lad on the cross with Jesus? One of the greatest pictures of mercy in life. Where one of these guys turn and they mock Jesus. If you're so good, if you're such a great God, if you're so big and you're the God of the earth, why don't you get yourself off this cross? And the other one says, "Lord, I deserve this. I'm a sinner. But Lord, you don't. But Lord, when you come into your kingdom today, will you remember me?" And Jesus said, "Today, you're going to be in paradise with me." That's how easy it is to be born again. You put faith in Jesus, and you go from life from death to life from death. That easy. He couldn't go back and pay back what he stole. He couldn't go back and do penance. He couldn't do anything because he was dying. But mercy and grace and love for sinners. Today, you'll be in paradise with me. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. I say this, and I will. I'm done. Why Jesus? Because when you get Jesus, you get life. And you get everything that he died for. Peace, happiness, health, joy, what to life, the blessing. You just get everything. And we go through this life And we just keep growing and keep believing and keep learning and keep pressing on. But especially, you know, today, if there's sickness, if there's mental sickness, if there's anything that people are dealing with, you know that when you get born again, that what did he say? Did he not just say that you're buried with him in that baptism, in that death? That's what baptism does. You're burying with him like you went down to death. But then when you arose, you get everything that he paid for. Everything. That's why we need Jesus. The world needs Jesus. There's one way, and his name is Jesus. There's many ways to Peterborough, but there's one way to God. And it's not God's will that any man perish, but that all come to the knowledge of God. Every one of us. I'm just going to give some time if people want to, the people that are getting baptized here, if you want to change or if you're ready. Is everybody ready? Everybody's ready. All right. Well, that's wonderful. Well, then why don't we turn these lights on? And we're going to have a celebration of life. Amen. And Karen and Hope, and maybe somebody could get the school kids because they wanted to come and watch too. The Sunday school? That's what Michael said. Just let them know anyways. And Christiana, why don't you guys all just come up here? Or you might as well. Everybody might as well just come up here and we'll just do one at a time. And if there's somebody else here that has never been born again, why don't we just pray a prayer right now? If you want to get born again, I'm going to pray one prayer. And then if you want to get baptized, you get baptized today too. So Father, Lord, we realize that there's no way to God but through Jesus. And Lord, I put faith. We put faith. If you never given your heart to Jesus, just say this after me. Lord, I realize that there's only one way to God, and his name is Jesus. And I receive right now Jesus into my heart. I ask you to come and make me a new person. Make me used to you and used to me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So, who wants to be first? You want to be first. Woohoo! Harry, do you want to come and help me? Usually Josh is here. I can do that stuff. You just hand towels and help. I'm going to take the I should take the electrical probe out.
Yeah, might help.
That's still pretty hot. Just hold back. Yeah, you just still. I'm just going to move this here so you can get out right there. Okay. So now, Karen, just before we baptize you, I just want to ask you, you've been born again?
Yes.
You've asked Jesus in your heart?
Yes.
Okay. Now, upon the confession of your faith, if you want to hold your nose or anything.
Oh, well.